listen to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source. Tune from the advert.
What advert's that?
You know, the Honda something Civic or whatever. I don't know, the new Honda that they're bringing out. Don't know if you've ever heard this tune on the adverts. It's pretty good.
No, it sounds like Eminem.
Yeah.
You can suck my dick if you don't like my stuff.
The reason I played that is because, for some reason, car adverts always seem to have the funkiest new tunes. If you remember a while back, I don't know if you're a fan of Prodigy. They had one of their singles off their new album that was for the BMW M3 series cars.
Cool.
And that was like kind of LSD... psychedelic kind of advert with the car, and there's like a little girl on a tricycle and a toy horse. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, then another one.
This wasn't just some bad acid you had one night.
No. By the way, you're listening to Hacker Voice Radio.
Hi.
On the 23rd of January 2006. Yeah, just talking about car adverts because that's just popped into my head, but this tune was made by a guy called Imran Hanif, a.k.a. Hollow Man, who's also good friends with Dizzy Rascal and various other people like Bjork, who isn't too...
Bjork!
Fantastic. Oh, it's all Bjork. Blah, blah, blah. The lights turn out and everything is quiet. Quiet. Shh. That's Bjork. That's my impression.
He's mad.
But, yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, they always seem to have the new funky tune. Another one was, I don't know if you remember, but there was Alien by, I think, I don't know who it's called, who it was by, but I know the tune was called Alien, and it was for one of those off-road vehicles. And it was like... just like loads of marathon runners running around and the tune playing in the background.
Don't remember that one either.
No?
I generally tend to change the channel when the adverts come on. So I'm falling behind in popular culture because of it. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, it's
just, I'll get over it.
Yeah, I mean, I generally do the same thing. It's just when something like that comes on, it's quite good, and it's kind of hard-hitting, and you have to listen to it because the tune's really grabs you, and then and then you're like, okay, shit, I have to find out, you know, who did this, or, you know, where did they get this tune from. So yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of those kind of adverts where they actually work to grab you instead of, you know, going, oh, you know, if you don't smoke this, or if you don't, you know, take this medicine, you will die, and, you know, which is one of the difference between TV adverts in the UK and TV adverts in the US.
Although that's I think it's for Honda, where the car that transformed into a robot and started dancing. That was ace.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's precisely what I'm talking about.
That's a cool advert that you want to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, rather than you sit there and go, oh, crap. Don't lecture me about this, you know. Don't tell me to take these bumhole pills and this, that, and the other. That advert with the car comes on, you're like, oh, yeah, I love this one. This is cool.
Yeah.
So it's like, so it's a whole different kind of advertising, because you get involved in it and you want to spend your time and go out and find out what the track is, what the track was, or, you know, how they did that. And yeah, it's very clever. You're spending your own time to learn about their products.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
crafty.
Not necessarily learning about their products. I mean, it's just trying to find out what that tune was. Leads me to, you know, finding out who was the guy that commissioned to do it or something like that. I mean, for the BMW, it was the Prodigy, and I didn't know straight away, so I had to Google, you know, BMW and whatever, and I had to, you know, go through them. So it's a clever little trick. I'm sure that judging by the amount of people that also try and find the same thing as me that you can see on the internet, they probably get quite a lot of hits and much more interest from doing that than if it was just like a stupid, like, I don't know, any kind of generic kind of music. But yeah, it's definitely good. And I mean, for the people that don't know, we've just kind of arrived back from the US, and I have to say I'm bitterly disappointed by the United States TV. It was too hyped up by a few friends of mine that said, oh, it's excellent, you know, it's fantastic. It's a piece of shit. Every few seconds, it's like, advert, back to whatever you're watching, then back to advert. And it's not like you can just flip over to another channel, because the other channel's just an advert. The whole fucking thing is, like, advertising. It's horrible. I mean, it was really distressing.
It's mad, isn't it? I mean, this is something I noticed, because the first time I went was in August. First time in my life, and I watched some American TV.
Yeah, you were saying about this before.
Yeah, because it really drove me up the wall. Hmm. You see, like, Everyone Loves Raymond or something comes on. They show the opening credits, and then ad break, before the program's even started.
Yeah.
Straight away, ad break. And you're like, what the fuck? Oh. And you go off and you flip channels and it's all ad breaks, but you get distracted and you end up watching something else.
Yeah.
They've got an ad break halfway through the show, and then one right at the end before the credits roll as well. Mm. So you're sitting there, end of the show, ad break, you're thinking, oh, this can't be the end, surely. Yeah. And then the program comes back on to tell you who was the lighting director, who was the executive producer, and all that bollocks that you don't care about.
Yeah.
Bloody nuts, absolutely nuts. It's I do bitch and moan quite a lot about the license fee over here. But you go to the States, you see that level of advertising, you come back and you want to kiss the BBC.
Yeah.
You really do. Even though we're forced to pay for it with a gun to our heads.
Yeah.
You know, which is never good.
But
at least there's no ads on it.
I mean, our adverts, you know, even on like ITV3, Channel 4, Channel 5, at least our adverts actually win, like, fucking, I don't know what the level, what the name for it, like the BAFTAs or whatever, you know, like the kind of, they win prestigious academic awards for the artistry or the directorship of the actual advert. Like, for example, I'm sure you know the Guinness advert with the horses, you know.
Yeah.
It's better to wait or whatever, and, you know, the drums and stuff like that. That was a fantastic advert. And there, you know that those adverts would really be good. But then, again, you have, that's the kind of British adverts. But then you have those stupid Budweiser adverts that originate from the US with the frogs. I mean, what the fuck's up with that? Budweiser. Even though it was kind of comical, it still, it wasn't original.
It's a bit crap as well.
Yeah.
And that whole was up thing.
Yeah, that was just bollocks.
Oh, dear. The worst thing about that was the people who kept saying it when it was on the TV.
Yeah.
I occasionally say it now when I'm pissed because no one remembers it. And I find that quite funny.
Yeah.
To be out of fashion and weird and old, which is basically what I am. But, you know, when it's on TV all the time, you go to work and people start going, "Where's that?" Yeah. Oh, I'm going to punch one of you.
Oh, well.
Bloody mad. What was that spray stuff called in the States they were advertising for the urine?
Urine be gone.
Urine be gone. Okay. Why don't they just call it piss off? What it was, just for the benefit of our UK listeners, because I've never seen this on any TV anywhere else around the world.
I love it.
It was a spray, like Mr. Muscle spray or Silic Bang, something like that.
Silic Bang.
But it was a Silic Bang. It was focused solely for urine stains. And the advert starts with someone going around the house with one of those ultraviolet black lights and saying, "Do you have urine stains that can't be seen but show up under black light?" Something like that. "Well, now use urine, be gone!" And they start spraying it on these cat piss sprays, and they're spraying it on the sofa, and I assume it's for elderly relatives as well as pets. And it's like, "Look how the urine disappears with urine, be gone!" Fuck. Oh, one of the weirdest products I have to...
Yes.
I have to say.
Fucking I think that gave us a solid 2 to 3 hours of just fucking laughing our heads off.
And then just shouting, "Your own be gone," randomly, and giggling like kids.
Yeah.
It's still funny now.
Fucking
but
hell.
I've never seen a cleaning spray specifically targeted at piss. Only in America, folks.
I know. Oh, you got to love it.
Oh. You know, they even have Silic Bang over there.
Do they?
But they don't call it Silic Bang. It's called, I can't remember now, but it's got a really stupid name. Oh, it's like Easy Clean
Bollocks
Bang or something like that. Really nuts. It's the same advert, but with an American voiceover.
I gotta love the Silic Bang remix.
The remix.
The techno remix. Oh,
yeah.
Fuck, that was awesome. I'm trying to find that now.
Actually, I was looking on the web today, and the bloke who does the Silic Bang adverts has his own blog.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's www.barryscott.blogs.com. I'll just double-check that.
Oh, here we go. This is the Silic Bang remix.
Hi,
Barry Scott here, asking whether you have problems with limescale, rust, ground in dirt. They're a challenge for some household cleaners, but not for Silic Bang. Silic Bang, Silic Bang, Silic, Silic, Silic Bang, Silic Bang, Silic Bang.
Oh, God. That will never get old.
That's ace. There is a link to it from this guy's blog. That's why I mention it. And it's www.barryscott.blogs.com. And I'll stick that on the forum somewhere because it's ace.
I can't believe he's got a fucking Hi, Barry Scott here. Do you have problems with blogging? Oh, God. Oh, shit. Yeah, but, I mean, I thought this show would be Google-focused, because Google has it's been a lot in the media recently, over the past week, and literally over the past 24 hours. Don't know if you're aware about this, but there was a huge thing last night where it spread all over the internet, an exploit in Gmail, whereby, let's say your name was Bob.monkhouse@gmail.com.
Oh yeah.
If you happen to have somebody else that was Bob.monkhouse@gmail.com without the period, apparently Gmail would misdeliver emails by sending them to both of those accounts. Now, this is a critical security flaw. Let's say you were signed up to I don't know, HSBC or whatever, a bank, or you know, just a bank or anything like that. And somebody was wanting to find out your credit card information or just your passcode or whatever, they could request for a reminder. You know how you say, "I forgot my email, click bring email me." And that would email that to their email address as well as the one you've created without the period or with the period, hence giving you full access to their account. Basically, this made Google stock prices drop about, I don't know, 10, 15 points last night.
Ooh.
Then it was revealed that the guy that actually submitted that original article made a mistake, and he was misinformed because it wasn't actually true. The actual email address was mislabeled. So this whole fiasco was a complete piece of complete bollocks, in fact. It wasn't actually insecure. It's not insecure, and it's actually quite safe. I read it, and it kind of drew me in a little bit, obviously, you know, thinking, shit, is this actually true? But you'll find that it's not, and it's just crazy. And I have my own conspiracy theories whereby I believe that this was something set up to discredit Google, because they are very rich people right now. Pretty much all of the Google employees have each got, you know, at least a $5 million penthouse and all that kind of stuff. Because they're floating on the internet, floating on the stock market, and they're making quite a lot of money. I'd advise everybody to check out the BBC Money Report. You can either actually just Google it or go on the BBC. It's called Google's World, or How Google Sees the World, or something like that. Yeah. It was done by the Money Program. You know, they have those late night shows with like money programs and whatever, and that was one of them. And it was just a full report about Google. It's quite interesting, and it's quite descriptive. And it also talks about click fraud as well, which is quite good of them. I was quite surprised to see them talking about ways to fraudulent activities on the internet as well, like that. So do check it out. It's quite good.
Yeah, I think that it aired on Friday, something like that. I remember coming home from work, flicking through the TV channels. There's something about Google halfway through. Put it on. Absolutely bloody fascinating. Really well done program.
It was. Yeah, it's download. It's available for free on the internet from BBC, from themselves. So if you want to go check it out, do check it out there. Another thing, the reason why I was thinking about having a bit of a discussion about Google is also, remember Ionix talking about how Yahoo basically bent over and took it up the arse by the government, the US government, and whereby actually it was the Chinese government that forced them into revealing basically browsing habits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now Google are being pressured into revealing browsing habits of the users for pornographic material and stuff like that to stop basically or prevent child pornography and stuff like that. Now they're actually saying no, we're not going to do that, and rightly so. Now the way I see it is that you are using Google as a service, even though now, if you think about it, where would you be without them? They have gotten really big. But the way I see it, they are still a business. They try to make their money, but they do it in different ways. And they also need to generate some sort of respect and some sort of
confidence
in the people that use their browser, in this search engine, as well as the various other products. Although in saying that, they do actually do quite a lot to prevent such things as child pornography and stuff like that. There was actually an extensive report on how they are trying to combat certain keywords and stuff like that from not showing any hits or anything like that. I fully support Google, and I think it's a one up on the whole fighting for your online rights, and I think that they're doing a good thing.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, either way you see it, either argument for or against, you can't do a fucking thing, because at the end of the day, you're using their service. If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, you really can't really talk either way. So you're fucked, but if you don't like it, don't use it. That's the way I see it. Most things on the internet. They're not forcing you to use Google. Google generally spread by word of mouth. You know, it wasn't like, you know, this is it. That's the only thing you can use. You know, you've got alternative search engines. And yes, there are loads of search engines out there. You know, there's actually search engines that use, like, at least, I think was another one, there was like spider37.com or something like that, that would actually, you'd put in your search query, and that would actually spider out to all the different other search engines out there, at least 37 of them, I think, and basically collaborate all the results back into one big, query request. And you'd have, like, this is from Google, this is from Yahoo, and the and, you know, what it was that it got back from each search engine. It crawled. So, yeah, there's other ways of searching the internet, and I think people should be using alternative means to find alternative media, if it may be something shady, such as information and plastic explosives or whatever, you know. And you should be aware of that you're using a service that's given by a company that is floating on the stock market, so they have to answer to certain, you know, laws and stuff like that, and regulations.
Yeah, if they had enough pressure, because they are a business, they would have to give up the information.
Yeah.
But at the moment, they are defending their users' rights and just saying, no, bollocks, you can't have the information.
Precisely.
Unlike the other search engines.
Yeah.
From what I've read, MSN, Yahoo, and AOL have just given up the goods.
Yeah.
They got contacted by the US government saying, we want these statistics on what people are searching for. And they said, ooh, yes, sir. And that was it.
Yeah.
No argument, nothing. Google stands out. Google's in the news because they're the one search engine who said, bollocks. You know, you're not having the information.
Yeah, and you know, rightly so.
Yeah, good on them. I fully support them for it. Got a lot more respect for them.
Yeah. But there is also some more good news. I don't know if you saw the link posted by Lucasaid in our forums.
Oh, yes.
About ID cards. This is good stuff. Finally, the Lords are listening. And you know, generally, that when everything goes to the, you know, to the House of Lords, it's usually turned down because it's usually gone because nobody else wants it there. So as a last resort, the government have to push it through to the Lords. But anyway, it looks like the bill to make ID cards compulsory has been denied by the House of Lords. For the Tories, Baroness Ainley of St. John's said the amendment will require the government to keep their manifesto commitment that they would have to introduce ID cards, including biometric data like fingerprints, backed up by a national register, and rolling it out initially in a voluntary basis as people renew their passports. So that means that it would have to be a voluntary thing. You would have to say, yes, I would like to pay 60-odd whatever quid for a ID card, and I'm renewing my passport. But apparently they are trying to put a clause in here, which means that it is not what the bill does. It says that if you apply for a passport, you must apply also to go onto the National Identity Register, and therefore you must have an ID card. Now, that doesn't sound to me like a voluntary thing at all, and that's directly quoted from this article from Sky News that was posted on our forum, so it's good to check it out to read the full thing. But, it's a good thing that it's been disallowed, and it's defeated once again. You know, it's like, how many times do they have to push this thing before they realize that people really don't want ID cards?
They'll keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it until they get what they want.
But it's like, you can see that there's a definite blockage of this. People really don't want it. And the government definitely want to push it through. So there's something fishy going on. And again, I'd like people to visit No2ID because there's loads of information on there, very relevant and very factual, about UK ID cards and identity cards and all that kind of stuff, and the whole global database. Also, another thing relating to this that I picked up on the news, even though I've been disconnected for like 2 weeks from any kind of legitimate news sources, and one of them is not the US fucking news media, but It's fucking bullshit, man. A cat, you know, a cat farts in whatever, Wisconsin.
Pennsylvania. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fucking bollocks. Anyway, apparently a dozen or so, I don't know exactly the number, but it's quite a number, probably a few hundred of teenagers that were arrested and later released without charge because they were innocent. Their DNA records were still kept, and they found out that basically they had they couldn't do anything about it. They still kept their DNA records, even though they were innocent. Basically, the story is a teenager was arrested, then released. His DNA records were taken, came back home, explained to his mom he was, you know, innocent, blah, blah, blah. They mistakenly arrested him, whatever. But they still kept his DNA records on file. And basically, the word was, you can't do a fucking thing about it. We're keeping them, you know, end of. Indefinitely, quite literally. His mother complained, as always, to the MP. The MP, you know, got a bit rowdy. They managed to remove, actually, all of them. I think a few hundred of these records off file of all the innocent teenagers that were arrested and then released without charge. So, you know, it's still a one-up for us and, you know, the freedom of basically your own fucking identity, as in your whole construct of your person, you know, from your fingertip to your hair to, you know, the shit you poop out every day is basically made up of your DNA, so...
It's a basic upholding of the rights that we're meant to have.
Yeah.
And I did see this story, that... This one lad and his mother were invited down to the police station to witness the destruction of all they had on him.
Yeah.
His fingerprints, his DNA, his photo, everything. Because he was innocent and because his mother got in charge, in touch with the local MP who really fought for him.
Oh, yeah.
I really wish I had the information here, but whoever this guy is, he really came through for him, just worked at it, and he got the job done.
Oh, yeah.
This is the only case I've heard of so far. But it's been done in one case. So surely everyone else who's been innocently arrested and proved to be innocent, surely they should also have the rights to have their DNA and records destroyed.
Yeah, precisely. I mean,
you know, if it's good for one person, it's good for all of us. So it's definitely a bloody good step in the right direction. Thank Christ, it's about time.
But also, there is that argument of the whole beneficial aspect to having the DNA stuff on file.
Yeah, there's benefits to it, but
what they're saying is that we should have everyone on file, regardless of them being a criminal or not, because eventually something might happen and you'll be able to find out who it was.
Mm. It'll make their job easier.
Is under law, you are guilty until proven... I mean, you're innocent until proven guilty. So that means that they shouldn't have your DNA records unless you've actually committed a crime. If you have committed a crime, fair enough. I believe your DNA records should be taken.
Hell yeah.
But and then, you know, kept indefinitely or at least until you have served your sentence by duty of the law and the court. That sentence you, and then your record should be wiped. And not
I don't know. I think if you're a naughty boy and you've done something, they should take your fingerprints, take your photograph, take your DNA, and keep it on file.
Yeah.
Because you are a known naughty person.
Sure.
So you know you could be a habitual criminal. They don't know. You've just kind of lost the rights to your freedom by fucking up and doing whatever you did. You know, I don't think it should really be used in cases of jaywalking or, you know, minor offences like that. But, if you're in a violent assault or if you're a murderer or a rapist or anything like that, you should have your records kept.
Sure. I mean, if you actually went to prison and it was an offence, that means that you'd be going to... it was a custodial sentence, then yes, definitely you would have a criminal record anyway. Which can't be removed because it's a criminal record. But where I say it by an offence, as in shoplifting and stuff like that, which is basically what these people were being charged with, very, very minor misdemeanors of theft and stuff like that, which is not very, I mean, it's still an offense, but it's not a an offense whereby they take keep your records for basically till the day you die. Actually, even after that, but...
Probably, yeah.
It's. I don't see that being an issue whereby they, if you're found innocent, they should immediately erase all records of that. And
yeah.
They apparently are now being forced to, which is good.
Yeah, in this one case, and I just really hope that other people get on this and say, look, you know, you cleared this guy's records. I'm innocent. You charged me, you dragged me down the station, I was proved innocent.
Yeah.
Why the hell have you still got my records? I want mine deleted as well. Hopefully, this will open the floodgates. Hopefully. Because if you're innocent, you're bloody innocent, and that's all there is to it. And they shouldn't have a damn thing on you. They had no right to drag you in, they had no right to fingerprint you, they had no right to get this information, therefore they've got no sodding right to keep it. You know, otherwise... we're just all going to be rounded up for whatever crimes until they've filled the DNA database that they want. And it's like, oh, well, you know, don't worry about any crimes or anything. We'll just look for DNA afterwards. We've got everyone on this database. So we'll find out whoever was there and, you know, bollocks. You're not even mine unless I'm a criminal.
Yeah.
So... and if I am, I will forfeit my rights to fingerprints and photos and DNA forthwith. No problem. But yeah, just the whole bloody attitude of guilty before innocent, which is the way it seems to be going, really winds me up. It's bloody crazy. Grr. Yeah, one other useful website whilst we're talking about... ID cards and exactly what's going on. A very cool website, which is www.spy.org.uk/spyblog. Now, I don't know who it is that does this website, but they...
apparently it's one of the friends of either Mark or Rat, but it's one of the guys that attends 2600 London.
I thought it would be, because they've got a link there.
Yeah.
But this website here, it is updated on a daily basis about exactly what's going on in the government, what's going on in the House of Lords, what new laws they're trying to get pushed through, what alterations to existing laws, and what that will mean.
Yeah.
So if you really want to be kept up to date, this is the website to go through. A lot of it's quite... bloody hard to understand because it's all about the law and exactly what they're trying to do and things like that, but it's better to read it and not understand it than just ignore the entire thing. So check it out. I fully recommend it. A lot of it goes over my head, that's why I'm saying that, but I think it's a fantastic source of information. So shout out to whoever does that. Good on you, sir.
Also, talking about spying and stuff, you heard about the whole accusations of the UK embassy spying on Moscow with the spy rock, baby spy rock.
I read the headline and I started laughing.
Yeah.
I didn't read the story. I couldn't get past the headline. Like, what is it? A Wi-Fi rock or something weird like that?
It's like some kind of remote control rock that they were walking up to, like, I don't know, remote controlling it with their little remote control things. And then walking away, and then somebody obviously picked it up. But apparently, not too long ago, I think about a few hours ago, I was watching Sky News or whatever, and apparently this whole thing is actually fake. So it's another fake story. But don't quote me on it, because I might be wrong. But apparently this whole thing was another fucking, you know, charade and bollocks. You know, it wasn't true.
God, you can't trust anyone these days.
Yeah.
Apparently disinformation.
It was like, yeah, apparently it was a fake rock. It was a fake spy rock.
What the hell is a spy rock, let alone a fake one?
I don't know. I just made up that name, spy rock.
God knows. That's what all the stories are saying, though. British diplomat in trouble because of spy rock in Moscow. Or
spy rock.
I was like, what? What are you on about? I'll have to go find that and read it later, I think. It's a weird story.
Let's see if they if they've had any updates on the spy rock. Uh,
Russian reject spy smear.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's a smear aimed at it's basically just a smear campaign, and the whole rock thing was basically just a smear campaign by whoever wanted to make it look as if they were actually doing something, but it's fucking bollocks anyway. I mean, come on, who uses fucking rocks nowadays, man?
It's hardly James Bond, is it? Pay attention, 007, this is your new standard issue rock. It looks like a standard pebble, but if you click here, it opens up and has a Wi-Fi card. Oh, Christ. Are we running out of money for spying or something? We've got to use rocks and shit like that. Because we're spending it all on this national ID register bollocks.
Exactly.
Bloody government.
Hilarious. Oh, I've got something that might make you cry. this is from the Adult Entertainment. I think it was like a SEMP conference or whatever. The internet was completely founded by porn, he said. And if it wasn't for the internet, he added, you guys would be completely out of business. The audience packed with porn actors and adult entertainment moguls such as Jenna Jameson and Larry Flint roared with laughter. Now it appeared that the adult entertainment industry has chosen to ante up on the DRM battle as well. Some companies have chosen to take sides, like Digital Playground, who will be supporting the Sony's Blu-ray. Others, like Vivid Entertainment, seem to think that the answer is diversity and will be supporting both Blu-ray and HD DVD. So it looks like the porn industry is taken into some DRM there.
Yeah, I don't know what that's really all about. I saw this on Slashdot because I am a fan of porn, and this caught my interest. The title of it is, Adult Entertainment Antis Up in the DRM War. But the story itself just seems to go on about what new next generation DVD format they're choosing.
Yeah.
Whereas some companies are going with Sony, some are hedging their bets, going with Blu-ray and HD DVD at the same time. There isn't really any mention of DRM unless I'm missing something, and maybe Sony are putting that in as part of the specification for Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, that's basically what will happen.
I assume they are.
It will be built into to the actual format of the discs. That's why they're saying about DRM, but it's only saying that they're going to be releasing this stuff on Blu-ray.
Well, which is, good luck to them, but they're just going to shoot themselves in the foot.
Not only that, I mean, sides this early in the
next gen battle.
Do you really think that's going to stop free porn on the internet? No.
Hell no.
Not in the slightest. They'll just see.
Not a fucking chance.
They'll just see a small decline in their, DVD sales or whatever.
Mm.
People will still be downloading that shit from the internet. As they have done for, the past few centuries.
Well, some clever bastard in Sweden or Denmark will just find a way to crack it.
Yeah.
You know?
Bit of sticky tape over the first thing and there you go.
It'll be something daft like that, I bet you. Yeah. I mean, they were trying to do all this bollocks with DVDs and the region coding.
Yeah.
And that lasted all of about 10 seconds before someone smarter than them just said, how about I do this? Ah, I've totally taken apart your crappy little system. Oops, sorry about that. All your stuffs can be taken off the disc and put all around the world again. What a shame.
Yeah.
But screw them. Let them have their fun. You know.
Yeah. Apparently, Microsoft have changed their operating system name from... what was it? The code name Vista? No, it wasn't Vista.
No, this is the next one.
Oh, the next one. Yeah, this is what confused me.
Blackcomb.
Blackcomb to Vienna.
Yeah.
So, why are they changing names already that they haven't even started finished. Well, they haven't even stopped finishing the operating system that they're going to release now.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, well, fuck it. Well, we're not supporting Vista anymore.
It's a piece of crap. It doesn't keep up with the latest hardware. You know, you should get the latest one. We haven't even started it yet, but it's going to be great.
We thought up a new name for it.
Yeah, we picked out a name. We picked out a logo. You should see it. It's sweet, man. That's why Vista's taking so long, because they're already working on the fucking replacement.
Exactly. It's fucking hilarious, isn't it? Just makes you
bloody
think
madness.
Bunch of fucking idiots.
They'll probably change it again anyway. Because that's got to be years off. If they've not even released Vista yet, and they're talking about the name for Vista's replacement. You know? Noobs.
Yeah. Oh, a really cool project I was looking at last night and today. There's, you know about, like, super clusters and cluster computers and stuff like that?
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, one thing you may know, and generally is the general perception of it, is that they're very expensive. Like, let's say 8 gigaflops of, you know, processing power would, you know, cost a lot of money. How about if I told you you could actually build yourself a supercluster under, let's say, $2,000 if you were going to do it properly?
I'd say, are you crazy?
Yeah. Well, actually, Aguiz's done it. He's doing it for his, like, PhD or whatever, as a kind of university student or whatever. And what he's done is he's bought those really cheap-ass motherboards. You know, you can get from, like, I don't know, 30 quid or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's bought 10 of them. And he's bought 10 1.5 gigahertz processors. And he stuck them all on a rack, like the one he's built. It looks like one of those, you know, T-trolleys or whatever. And it's hooked them up to a 100 megabit LAN switch. And with a 10 gig hard disk on one of them as the kind of cluster controller. And stuck Debian on it. And stuck, I think it was open something cluster software onto it that basically handles all this. And basically what happens is you've got 9 motherboards with RAM and processor. That's it. No hard disks. One machine that has a hard disk. So what happens is all these machines actually boot off LAN onto the master, take the kernel down, boot into the operating system, and then the master controls the distribution of the of the partitions of basically the files that they want it to process. And he was able to get about 8 gigaflops of processing power for it. Under, I think it cost him like £1,500, something like that, £1,500, something like that, roughly. Just to, on the hardware side and all the kind of power stuff he had to hack. So it's fucking amazing, you know. You could literally, if you had the odds, you know, grand lying around and you wanted to have yourself a little project you wanted to make, you could have your own cluster, literally, in your living room, running at amazing speeds, you know. You could render movies on it, you know, in like half the time it would take you with just a standard, you know, desktop.
Mad. The way you describe it there doesn't sound very difficult. I know I'm probably simplifying it a bit, but it sounds like he hooked all this gear up, got Debian, and then got some software thing that does clustering anyway.
Well, I mean, like,
set it up to do that.
Beowulf clustering is an open source kind of free clustering program.
Right.
But he used a different one. He used, what did he use? Open Mosix. I can't pronounce these weird Linux things. Open Mosix. That's using a Debian operating system. And I've got the link to basically his webpage. And it looks really cool, the actual, you know, the whole build of it. I'll post that in the forums as well as the IRC for you to see. But I was actually thinking of doing this for myself, and it would be a really cool project to do. When you actually read the PDF on his website, you actually see which problems he came across with. so you can work around those problems. Basically, the first problem was that he bought these really cheap-ass motherboards. And you know with these really cheap-ass motherboards, they have obscure drivers for certain NIC cards and stuff. Even though they were boot from LAN NIC card, they were only boot from LAN for HP, certain hardware, whatever. So it was incompatible. So basically, he had to go and EEPROM the BIOS to wipe the drivers, reload open drivers onto it so that he was able to do this. That took a day or two. The second problem is obviously with a cheap-ass motherboard, the bus, the front side bus, was working at a quarter of the actual CPU speed, so he couldn't squeeze out the maximum processing power out of it, which is something that you can't really get around with. And also a few other things, a few other issues that he came across with, which is actually really useful to read, because if you ever decide to do this yourself, then you know where not to go wrong and where to check when you're buying these motherboards, to check that they're actually, you know, open standard, boot on LAN, Ether boot, or whatever it's called. Any business standard desktop has that built into the NIC card to basically boot from the network. But apart from that, it's actually really cool. So the URL for that is spinlab.wipi, that's WPI.edu, and click on cluster flop or the projects page, and you'll be able to find out a few different projects that the guy was doing as well. So you could definitely make yourself a very low cost cluster, literally very low cost. Like, I think the total approximate cost was about $550 total cost of making a gigaflop, you know, cluster. And it's he said it in the case of actually, so for $150 you achieve 2 gigaflops of computing power, which is amazing. So you know,
absolutely mad. Makes me jealous. I'm not at whatever school he's at doing this for, you know, credit or PhD or whatever the hell he's working on.
Because this is the kind of shit we would do just for fun.
If I had the time, you know, and if I was a student and it's like, yeah, what I really want to do is get loads of computers, hook them up, and see if I can make a supercomputer.
Yeah.
Ah, I'll use that as my thesis. Fantastic. Yeah. So I'm doing what I love, and it's towards a good cause because it's going to get me through school. Fucking beautiful.
But yeah, I mean, the whole model of this is fantastic because it shows how a very low budget scaling of supercomputers can work for you, literally in your living room. There's nothing to stop you apart from not having money, you know, of having this in basically in your house. Literally nothing to, you can go on like whatever one of those online websites, get yourself a deal for, you know, a bundle of motherboards. All you need, bundle of motherboards, some RAM, fucking, you know, dirt cheap RAM you can buy. Literally dirt cheap components. Stick them all together with already documented, already free open source clustering software. You can actually do this yourself, and with some fantastic results. Literally, you know, you've got fucking 8 to 9 gigaflops of processing power at your disposal in your living room. It's amazing.
Well, you can never have enough gigaflops in the living room. That's what I always say.
Exactly. Although, you know, your wife / whatever other half may not appreciate the noise generated by this. Okay. And the general, you know, I think this thing looks sexy, but to my other half, maybe not. But
I think it looks damn cool. Yeah. I don't think you'll find many ladies out there who go, ooh, I want one of those next to the coffee table.
Exactly. I was even thinking of, like, ways to mod this thing, like put some neons and shit. And
hydraulic kit, have it bounce up and down to Snoop Dogg.
That would be cool. But, yeah, that's, I mean, fucking awesome.
Yeah, cool project, man.
Yeah, definitely going to do this when I get and money.
When you get 10 spare motherboards all the same, and the Switch and all this.
Oh, it's definitely possible. I mean, I'm looking at, like...
Yeah, it's possible.
Less than £500 for, like, let's say 10 motherboards. I mean, let's actually see how much they cost. Like, dirt cheap motherboards off the fly.
Bugger all. Yeah. I mean, if he's going for the dirt cheap ones, you're looking at, like, 30 quid or something like that.
You know, plus the CPU, it's not too much, you know.
Chucking some RAM. Yeah. And like you say, if you buy it in bulk, buy it all outright, you're probably going to get some kind of deal.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, it does actually look really nice.
Oh, it does. It's an awesome... it's an awesome little project, especially for people like small businesses, you know, that need that rendering power and don't have the money to invest in
a server farm.
Yeah, exactly. Server farm time, even just like 2 hours worth of server time, server farm, whatever time, cluster time. It costs you a lot of money. Where this, literally, if you went all out on this and did it like properly. Let's say $2,000 would be your ceiling level of actual spending expenditure on this, with, I don't know, 3 or 4 days of actual work getting this thing to work. You know, it's not easy, but you can do it. It's not a problem. You're looking at $2,000's worth of that, and literally on the market, $2,000 would buy you a mid to low level entry server.
Mm.
So you've got one server that's processing at 2 gigahertz that you bought for $2,000. You know, and then you've got a 9 gigaflop fucking cluster that will, you know, render a whole movie from whatever format into DivX or DVD. You know, it'll render 3-dimensional graphics and stuff like that in a matter of hours.
Yeah.
You know, so it's awesome.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, I found one for £41. Just a dirt cheap, one of those shitty Epochs.
Yeah.
Motherboards. Even if you scratch off the onboard graphics card, scratch off the onboard sound and all that crap. You're cutting off some of this components you really don't need. Which drops the price down, like, so far, because obviously nobody's going to buy a motherboard without a soundboard, a sound card, whatever, nowadays. And you really don't need one.
It's cool stuff. I think it'd be useful for a lot of home enthusiasts who are into 3D and, like you say, massive rendering projects like that, movies and... cool stuff.
I don't know if your company does a lot of rendering or formatting or reformatting of like large movies or anything like that.
Nothing where we'd need this kind of hardware yet.
Yeah, but definitely, you know, if you got into needing it, the cost margin of it would be skyrocket. Mm. At any kind of, you know, let's say you needed to do this in like a day, you would pay fuck knows how much, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds, you know, professionally done. You get the same results with this. It's fucking crazy. And I think the guy's next project is to actually do this, but with, he's going to expand it. But he's just using, like, donated hardware and stuff like that.
So he's going to try and mismatch hardware, just use anything he can get a hold of. And
I'm pretty sure you could do that, yeah. I think it's just, you know, he's asking for people to donate him hardware, and I think he's going to go crazy with it. And I'd like to see the cluster flop number 2.
Yeah.
Because that will look pretty mad. Crazy, but I was looking into, there was a post on the Binrun forums about a little device that lets you broadcast FM. So in turn, it's like a little PCI card that slots into your computer and basically broadcasts. So you've got a radio station in your house.
Yeah.
It's being sold from the US, export only. Totally illegal in the UK, but you can still buy it and have it in the UK, although you can have it, but you can't use it, which is a bit weird, but anyway, which is a nice little loophole for people like me. But effectively, it says that it allows you to broadcast to your house, to your garden, then to your neighborhood, and then literally to your whole community. So it's got about 5 mile range with the little 15 watt booster. Which means that you can literally broadcast for, 5 miles range radio broadcast on any frequency that you wish. Which might be something, I might consider, is actually doing a live show as well as broadcasting it on FM, which would cause all sorts of, legal issues with Ofcom.
Yeah.
Because
you get into a whole world of shit.
Yeah, but the thing is, I was taking a look
at...
If they find me. But I was looking at the kind of legalization stuff and Ofcom, and it just seems like complete crap. I really don't see why they don't open up the whole FM range. The reason why they don't is because people are still making money off it. And let's say I wanted to, broadcast at 100 megahertz and, fucking Capital FM was selling their stuff on 100 megahertz. I couldn't do it. But what if I wanted to, take the lower band, 88 or even lower than that, and go into, AM and stuff like that? I could do that, but it would still be illegal. And it just seems a bit tight-ass of them not to have some sort of lax legalization on broadcasting. Because if it'd be really cool if, 3 or 4 people in your kind of area were broadcasting radio shows, you could listen in on these things every night and hear what's happening in your local area. It would be pretty awesome, but it's not. It's too commercialized and it's too censored.
Yeah, bit of a double-edged sword, really, isn't it?
It
would be pretty cool if there was a certain area of the band that was open to any amateur radio station where people can, if they've got the equipment, jump on it and just start up a radio show.
Yeah.
A certain part of the frequency where that's not being used by anyone, go nuts, do what you want. But then again, FM radios are pretty much in everyone's house.
Yeah.
So what's to stop a kid tuning in his radio and it's something like this? With you and me laughing about cock jokes and stuff that's inappropriate for, the little buggers to hear. So, at least with our stuff, they have to come here, they have to make a conscious choice to go to Hacker Voice Radio to download the episodes or to tune in live.
Yeah.
And it's, it's their own bloody fault if they get it.
Yeah.
It's not like they could just be sitting there with the FM radio
going
and all
through,
of a sudden it's all fart cock, Angelina Jolie, boobs, and your line be gone and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stuff the poor kids shouldn't hear until they're about 18. So, it would be cool, but I think, I can kind of see why it's not happening.
Yeah,
I think it never will.
Yeah, it's a real shame.
It is a shame.
Although for less than $100, you could have your own, home pirate radio station.
Yeah, you could do it and just say bugger to him.
I mean, the worst that can happen to you is confiscation of equipment and a hefty fine. So I guess if you're pretty, sorted on the money side, there's nothing really stopping you from doing it. But whereas for poor people like me and everybody else out there, it's not working out, on the whole risk side of things.
Yeah, I also don't want my DNA on file with the bloody police.
Yeah. But I wonder how far that whole thing is going with the public radio thing about us being broadcast on American public access radio. Because I didn't even ask Ionix about that. I kind of forgot.
Yeah, I've not heard about that for ages. I totally forgot about it until you just mentioned it then. Yeah,
apparently he said that basically they're just... They've taken it into their own stride, and they're going to do a show about internet radio shows and freedom of speech, and they're going to feature us as the main kind of not guinea pig, but source of, if you see what I mean.
Weird.
As reference, so they're going to reference us, which is pretty cool.
It'll be pretty mad. I just hope they pick one of the better episodes.
Oh, they're going to
out of our back catalogue. You know,
they're going to take the one with Felix.
Oh, that's cool.
Episode, yeah.
I think it's some of our best work.
Yeah,
I'm very proud of that one. I like the way I said nothing, and yeah, well, it's a damn cool episode.
Well, it was. You said nothing because of default, you know.
Well, really, it's Felix's story,
yeah.
You know, which is what made it such a cool episode.
Yeah, it was definitely what we're all about, you know. And more so, every day, I believe that we should be like that. And I'm surprised that people haven't taken up on that invite of literally, basically calling in or whatever, by any means, running the show themselves. Which is kind of what we set out to do at the beginning, but we've gone down different kind of paths of random crap to very hardcore news to very hardcore kind of educational description kind of led radio broadcasts to interviews to everything, and it's just been, I don't know, I guess that is what we are about, you know, just complete randomness.
yeah, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, a few guys that I have to contact. One of which is somebody we featured some time ago, an artist that created this kind of new way to interface with computers via projector and moving RFID tags on a table.
Yeah.
Don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get back to him because he said email me back in February and for an interview.
Cool.
As well as the guy we featured not long ago who emailed us thanking us about our hit on his website about the one free minute. Yeah, that was really cool. I'm going to have to get him to come on the show and talk about
definitely. That. Yeah, that would be wild cool. Mm. I'd love to know what the guy's idea is behind it and you know, his motivation. It's bloody cool, and he must have the belief behind it that, you know, freedom of speech and everything.
Yeah, he's so. definitely technically minded. I've seen a few of his other projects, like the GPS piano. The piano that's basically played by the signal strengths of the various different GPS satellites that orbit the Earth. And basically there's like a GPS receiver and fed into a computer that then interprets the signals into basically notes that then feeds into one of those self-playing pianos, and you can hear basically what it sounds like. It's pretty amazing.
You got a piano being played by satellites.
Yeah.
This is a weird world we live in.
Yeah. But yeah, he's definitely technically, artistically minded, which is pretty cool, and by far a hacker, you know. Definition of a hacker.
Yeah. That reminds me, have we had any emails in the 2 weeks we've been away off the air?
Surprisingly not, no.
Nobody loves us.
Surprisingly nothing.
That's weird.
Yeah, not directed at really. No, nothing really for the radio. We had kind of like an episode of loads of emails floating through, and then it just quietened down, and then floating through again. I've managed to get us some various podcasting sources as well, so that we can kind of spread the news that way.
Cool.
And also, I've got to get back in touch with Shaman for an update and see when he's going to be free on upgrading our website to version 2 for the dynamic
good
content
stuff.
And stuff like that.
Sounds good, man.
And I think that's about it for this episode.
Yep.
Yeah, if you have any comments or suggestions, please email us at radio@hackervoice.co.uk. And if you are listening to this broadcast and don't know our URL, it's hackervoice.co.uk. And we'll be live again tomorrow from 9 o'clock p.m. GMT. And hopefully Ionix will be able to get some internet access sometime soon. It's looking pretty promising. So we'll get him back on the show again.
Good stuff.
Anything you want to add before we go?
No, I think I'm all done. Thanks for tuning in. As always, this is Planet Lave. I thank you all. And yeah, radio@hackervoice.co.uk. Let us know what your opinions are. You can jump on the show anytime. You know, there's a Skype number you can use, and you can just be on the air like that. It's all there at hackervoice.co.uk. And check it out, and just give us your feedback. Let us know what you think. Speak your mind. Thank you all.
And closing music will be by Imran Hanif. The track called Bring It featured on the Toyota something advert.
Buy Toyota. Buy Toyota.
Yeah. We've finally done it. We've gone all commercial.
We got 3 Toyotas each. They're great. Really nice cars.
I would recommend everyone buying Piss Be Gone. It's a fantastic product for urine stains.
Oh, Lord, yes.
It does wonders for my urine stains.
I've never seen my pants so clean.
Now I just piss in my trousers. I have no need to get off the bed. I just piss on it.
And thanks to your I'm begone, I can still make that meeting at noon. We better close it off before we do an hour-long people fest at your I'm begone or whatever.
I am trying.
All right. I'm quiet now.
Yeah, it's not buffering. Come on, buffer.
Buffer it, you bitch.
Buffer. I'm trying to play this off his website, and it's got like one of those little flash media player thingies built embedded into the website.
Load of crap.
Yeah. Well, the trouble is, it's a fucking MySpace.com.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm surprised, like, Dizzy Rascal and them people have MySpace, and Bjork has a MySpace as well.
Does she?
Yeah.
Weird.
I didn't know they have internet up in Eskimo land.
Maybe they do.
Oh, it's rude to call them Eskimos, isn't it? You have to call them Inuits.
I don't know, I can't really remember him being that bothered about it. You never see Eskimos or Inuits on the TV saying, "How dare you call me an Eskimo, that's an offensive term to my people."
Yeah.
Maybe they do find it offensive, I'm just saying I've never seen them be bothered, so who knows. Right.
Well, I can't play that, but what I will do is I'll play the tune that was on that 4x4 advert, The Black Alien, which is also a pretty cool one. Cool.
By Toyota.
Yeah.
Follow me, coração. Porém, da selva é o leão, e a selva é o palco. Desse Black Alien de macaco, te lançando no vácuo pra outra dimensão. Miami Bass, também vem a Rio Grau. E o Stella saco mandou pau no país do juiz Nicolau. E seu atual panorama político desvia o curso de um rio pra um fim apocalíptico.
Pode dar, tu te conhece. Eu vou pegar, eu vou matar o caso doente. Pode dar, tu te conhece. Eu vou pegar, eu vou matar o caso doente. Tá doendo, tem que tá doendo. Tem que tá doendo, tem que tá doendo. Tem que tá doendo, tem que tá doendo.